with them and the Lord also, and he wanted to hear about it, and that's kind of what we want to do here this morning. Some of us went to a Faith Walkers conference. In fact, I think there were about 22 of us there, 22 souls. Some of them are kind of young and didn't get a whole lot out of it, but the term Faith Walkers is a really good one. Faith is not all that mysterious, but it is a unusual experience nevertheless. It is the conviction, Hebrews says, of something unseen. And in the years of my life, I've come to this, that while it really means a lot, because it means that I'm going to be living today as if the fulfillment of a promise is already here, or that I know it's coming. And that's what this conference was about. It's exactly what Adam was sharing about the vehicle. As soon as he heard about it, he knew. Why? Because that's the will of God. And his kids do what his will is. 1 John 3 says, whoever has the world's goods and beholds somebody in need and says, how does the love of God abide in that person? Another example along this line that I was just thinking of that Rory Whitney was sharing at this conference, he said the first time that he read in Malachi about tithing, he thought, oh no, but I've got all these kids. You can't expect me to give anything. I mean, I got to feed these kids. That's my responsibility. You can't expect me to give. And he wrestled with it before the Lord, and he understood what a tithe meant. It means tenth. And he said at that time he was making about $2,000 a month, $1,000 every couple of weeks. So he wrote out the check for $100. And he said as the plate came by, he still hesitated. Am I going to put it in there? And he finally put it in and almost thought about grabbing it again as it left. And then as they were leaving church that day, just in a casual conversation, somebody gave him an envelope, and he got in the van, almost forgot about it, got in the van, and here it was $500. So this is the way our God is in various ways, not just with material things, but I think Tim's phrase is you can't outgive God. I think that's the way he has described it. And so we're going to invite... It doesn't have to be just any of us who went to Faith Walkers. If you have a burden, if you have something you'd like to encourage us with, especially, Josh almost definitely will come up here because twice on the way home he asked me, so what's going to be shared tomorrow? And I said, whatever you want. And he had to remind himself, that's right, it's open mic. So I expect him to come up sometime. He doesn't have to come up right now. Anybody.
Hello. I'm Casey. I did a summer kind of church plant here for this church a couple summers ago. So I'm back visiting. And I went to Faith Walkers too. I'm part of the Ames church. So a lot of them go to the Midwest one too. Hi, Amber. And I was thinking about this morning, I was meditating on it, was this year I want to figure out more of who God is. I mean, you're not ever going to reach, oh, this is exactly who he is, because he's so unsearchable and so deep. You know, his love is never failing. His faithfulness reaches to the skies. I was like, God, I want to grasp that more. I want to know your character and know how powerful you are. I want to fear you. I want to have your love and joy. I want people to see that in me so they're drawn to it. I want to be, like Mark Darling said, just used more for his kingdom. And it's cool that he said, you know, you're not trying to be a celebrity or anything. Even the ordinary people are used for God. And that's who's used the most in the Bible that he explained. And Each one of us has a path that he wants us to go on, and I want to figure out, God, what path is that for me, you know? And so I want to seek him more and know him more. In my dorm room, I have a lot of cards. I try to put a verse on it in the morning, and so on the outside of my door, they're filled with Bible verses, and then now the insides are, but I kind of switched up the front, and I took those down before I came, and I want to put on the front to remind myself, since I'm trying to figure out who God is, more verses about who he is, and have people see that as well as they're walking by. So that's one of my goals for this next semester. Thank you.
This one's it, right? Yeah, this one's it. Okay. So, yeah, Faith Walkers was a blast. I encourage anyone who hasn't gone to find somewhere to go, if possible. But basically, what I mostly learned from this conference is we need to learn to get closer to God. And I thought I was close to God, and like, as soon as I went to this conference and everything, I realized I needed to get a lot closer than I was. So basically the main thing I picked up from the conference is I need to do everything in my power to get closer to God, whether it's, and I think this is a good lesson for all of us too, whether it's reading the Bible or just praying or listening to messages or putting your whole heart and soul into it. You can't say you're going to put 75% of your heart into knowing God, because it just won't work. It's got to be 100%, and that's what I picked up. That's mostly what I picked up out of this conference was everyone that is faithful to God and wants to be a disciple needs to yearn to get closer to God. Whatever chance they get, because like Casey said, you're never going to know him completely, so you can always get closer. And that really taught me something and gave me an objective every day for the next year, is just to try to get closer to him so we can have blessings. And I mean, he's already been blessing today, and it's only the first year, and it's only the first day of this year, so that's basically what I picked up out of the conference, was we just need to draw closer to God and do his will and be strong disciples, because he can use anybody he wants to, whether it's the lowest of the low or the highest of the high. So it really pays off to get as close to him as possible. And all in all, I'm just glad I went this year. So I encourage anyone who hasn't gone to go.
I didn't want to be the first one to go because I'm on stage all the time, so felt kind of bad about that. Not sure if this is the right time to say this, but me and the pastors do want to sincerely apologize to you guys as a church family and as visitors. We are having some issues with our facility that we're renting right now, and you might have noticed the extra bar signs, beer signs and stuff, and there's some other little hardships this morning when we got this place ready for you guys to come in and to worship God together. So we want to apologize for that, and that me and the pastors are looking into things and working on it, and we'd appreciate your prayers to figure out how to move forward this year. So standing up here, I'm a new man. I'm just totally a new man. I had Christ before, but I just feel so alive right now, like never before. This conference was so life-changing, and it's exactly what I prayed for. I prayed that this would be life-changing. I've had so many struggles this last year, crazy struggles I never knew I would have to deal with. I learned so much about myself this last year here, 2011. And I just want to share something with you. I shared it was such an impact that I shared it with our tie-down group twice already. And I want to share it just one more time with all of you, that I was burned out big time last year, especially at the end of, towards the end of December, with doing so much overtime and working with the church. And for some reason, I had this concept that as me hopefully becoming a pastor someday, maybe decades from now, not tomorrow, obviously, but someday, maybe, if it's God's will. And there's a pressure when I see guys like Mark Darling and Tom Short, who are just amazing communicators, and they're willing to go out in a crowd on campus and evangelize to the whole crowd, not just one random person. You know, I see great examples, and I consider that, like, this is what godliness looks like. This is what a leader looks like. And how can I do that? Like, I don't want to do that. That would just exhaust me. I'd just be so terrified. I'd be shaking, and I'd be stuttering. And anyway, so I started getting very frustrated, and I felt a lot of shame last year. Going to bed just feeling shame and apologizing and repenting to God for not measuring up. And I was hoping and praying that Faith Walkers would be life-changing, but I thought life-changing in the way of, like, okay, you got to transform me so that I like being around lots of people a lot more, and I'm more outgoing, and I'm more this and that. What I found was I went to a message by Rob Gerber. And I encourage you guys to go on the Faith Walkers website and look at all the podcasts. Listen to the podcasts that jump out to you. Rob Gerber did a breakout session about being an introvert, and it was just totally life-changing. In that conference, God showed me that He made me the way I am with my personality traits. And it's not a bad thing. It's not something to be ashamed of. It looks different than your average leader and your average Joe or whatever. It looks different than other people, but it's not wrong. It's not something to be ashamed of, actually. And it's something to embrace and to figure out how to use that to serve God. I'm an introvert, and I don't like being around lots of people all the time. It exhausts me, and there's nothing wrong with that, and it's just freeing to think about that. And anyway, it was really good, and afterwards I got to talk to Rob Gerber more about it and just realize that God's made me to serve His purpose, and the way I'm going to do stuff looks a little different, but I'm still going to be serving God. I'm still going to be glorifying God. And it's good. It's really good. I mean, the thing is, though, that, you know, Rob put it in perspective that, you know, he was talking about himself saying, you know, I'm no good at cold turkey evangelism. I get really nervous. I don't want to do it. But he told me that he still does it. He just maybe only meets one or two people as the church is doing it, leading out, and he's done. He's totally exhausted. He just can't do it, and I totally understand that. What he did tell me, though, you know, he pushes himself outside his comfort zone a little bit, but then he focuses on his strengths, which are meeting one-on-one and sharing the gospel. He can do that all day long, and I'm right there with him. We all have our gifts, and we need to use them for God and glorifying God. So anyway, I just wanted to share that this conference truly was life-changing. The other thing that went along with that was a Mark Darling message where Mark Darling was talking about how we are pure and righteous in God's sight because of Christ's sacrifice. I've read tons of verses that say that, but I don't really necessarily get it. And Mark went to the root of it, saying that, you know, you can say something, you can kind of believe it, but, like, if there's not an emotional response, maybe you haven't totally internalized it and you don't totally get it. So I'm trying to get that still, that you know, I'm not perfect, but God does see me as perfect. You know, there's something about that that's, it should give us great confidence serving God, just living our daily lives knowing that. That as far as the one person being that you, his opinion matters. It's the only person's opinion that matters. He thinks we're perfect. I think that's when we totally understand that there will be an emotional response to that and great confidence, great joy in any situation. So that's something that I got that I really want to pray and focus on more. I just encourage you guys that next year to, if you possibly can, to be saving up and trying to go to the Faith Walkers Conference, because you can listen to the podcast, but it's not totally the same when you're there and you're worshiping with 1,700-1,800 other people in a room, and you know, you think the song should end, but you don't want to end, and no one else does, and we just keep on going, whether the musicians are playing or not. It's a powerful experience. And yeah, the floor is bouncing, which is something I didn't like, because when I went there, you go up an escalator, and this escalator was like going straight to heaven. It was like a 5-minute ride, it felt like. And I got a third of the way up, and Sarah and Josh were surrounding me and talking to me, and all of a sudden I just froze up. I grabbed the little rails, and I didn't move, and I closed my eyes because we were just so far up in the air, and there's nothing around you, and thought there'd be birds flying around up there. It was scary. But and then realizing that underneath us, you know, there's this huge cafeteria with huge ceilings. We're a couple stories up, and the floor is shaking while we're worshiping. I'm like, I hope they engineered this room well. Like, is it supposed to do this? Or, you know, is God going to just take us all back to heaven right now? But yeah, it's a powerful time. I really encourage you guys to try to make it next year, all of you.
Anyways, they actually stopped one of the escalators, and I got on it. I almost fell on my face because I get motion sickness really easily. Sorry if that's TMI, but I got on that thing, and I was like, whoa, it's not moving. I'm safe. It was weird. So I don't know. There were a couple things that kind of stood out to me at Faith Walkers. This was my first Faith Walkers in, like, 4 years. I had to work a lot back when I was in Ames. I have a feeling it's going to be the same when I start my new job tomorrow, which is a praise. Pray don't break my back from lifting 50 pounds of pasta at a time or whatever. But the music at Faith Walkers was amazing. Like, I had to, like, shut the musical part of my brain off, because, or the producer part of my brain, because I was like, how are they doing that sound? And how are they making that sound effect? And that guy's playing the bongos with the tambourine at the same time. That's so cool. And so, like, God was just showing me, like, all these different songs that we could maybe, like, learn and, like, bless you guys with. Or he was at least getting me fired up about it. But there was one song that was called Winter Snow. It was a gorgeous song. It was very soft and flowing. And it talked about how we have one of the lines or lyrics or whatever is. This is just weird. Can you guys hear me without the microphone? Or should I speak into it so it. Okay, never mind. It says he could have come like a hurricane or like a typhoon or whatever powerful word you want to insert, but we have a God that came soft and slow like the winter snow. And I mean, have you ever stood outside on a night when it's snowing and you can almost hear each individual snowflake like just going right on the ground, you know? It's just like such a soft and, you know, I can't really think of any other words to describe peaceful. Yeah. And, like, we have a Savior who could have just come into the world like, da-da-da, I'm here, you know. And yet he chose to come in a way that made him totally vulnerable, you know, like he totally humbled himself. And then the other thing that I really liked was when we were talking about God's grace and how God's grace gives us a power that we, I think, sometimes don't grasp. What kind of a power that we have with the Spirit living inside of us.
back when I first found out that JD had cancer, it kind of got me thinking, like, do I have the faith, or do I have enough faith in God and his grace and his power that if I were to, like, brush shoulders with JD as I'm passing him or whatever, that, like, a little bit of power would go out of me like it did when that lady touched Jesus's cloak. And I'm not saying that I'm Jesus or whatever, because I'm not. Darcy can attest to that. I'm so far from being God, it's not even funny. But, like, do I have enough faith in God and who he is and what he did for us that I can believe that, like, just my being there with someone who's in so much pain, physically and spiritually and emotionally, that even if I'm not feeling up to, you know, helping them out or being whatever it is they need me to be, do I have enough faith in God that I can just at least just be there and listen? Like, shut my brain off and just listen, you know? So, like, God's grace is not just God's grace. I mean, it is God's grace, but it's flowing, it's moving, it's constant, and it's sufficient for every single sin. It's not like God put in the Bible, well, my grace covers this sin and this sin, but not this one. No, God died on our cross for our sins. And when he died on the cross, all of our sins were pretty much in the future. They were already forgiven. And doesn't it make sense that it doesn't make sense? We have a God who's so huge, we're never going to fully grasp all there is to know about God. I think if he, like, endowed us with everything there was to know about him, we'd fall right on the floor. Like, our little brains would be like, can't compute, you know, like, I don't know. I think there's a mystery about that and a romance about the fact that we just don't know all there is to know about God. So, yeah, that's it.
So this is a little scary. I knew this was coming the whole ride back yesterday, and I tried thinking about it, and last night and this morning, and I still am up here without a plan. So this is really scary. I'm going to, so if it doesn't make sense, that's why. I learned a lot this week. I haven't had time to really think about everything and really take it all in yet, but a lot of what was talked about was about truth, and maybe it would help to explain a little bit about myself, or maybe a little bit about my church background. We're always told, like, you don't trust your emotions or anything like that, because they're not what's true. What's in the Bible is true, and you just believe that, and, you know, your emotions, they don't mean anything. So if you don't feel secure, you don't feel loved or anything, well, that's not the truth, because the Bible says this, and that's just how it is. But in a way, that is true, but not completely. I learned at the conference that, you know, when I don't feel like God loves me, or I don't feel that I'm special to him or anything like that, that's because I'm not really believing what God's told us. I'm believing a lie. And so the only way to figure out what lie I'm believing in is to be in God's word and to be praying and communicating with him consistently. And that consistently is a big thing for me, because you know, I get all fired up and I'm really good for maybe 2 weeks to a month reading my Bible and stuff like that. And then, you know, for 2 weeks I'm not so good, and I'm tired, and, you know, I don't feel like it. And, you know, so that was really important for me to learn. And because I'm a really practical person, I kind of have to have a plan, because, you know, I've gone on mission trips and stuff and felt really close to God, and then gone home and just done the same thing, and it hasn't really changed my life. And I don't want that to happen with this Faith Walkers. So one of the sessions I went to was growing in a truth-based thought life. It was for the women specifically, but there was some really, really good stuff just in general in that one. And she did give us some really practical things to do at the end of the session. And one of them is, you know, you have to intercept those thoughts that come into your mind, those truths, you have to those lies, you have to was that what you were going to talk about? Okay. You have to catch them and realize that they're not the truth. But the only way you can realize that they're not the truth is to know the truth, to be reading God's word, to be communicating with him through prayer. You know, other believers are a good way because, you know, fellowship with them, they can point out things that you don't necessarily see yet. A good way is through memorizing. Another practical thing she talked about was these truth packs, going to Walmart. She's repeated this several times. $1.24, getting a little packet of note cards and 50 note cards, and choosing a topic that you're struggling with particularly. Like, she named a few, like identity, or, you know, I was thinking like feeling God's love and stuff like that. And taking all of those 50 cards and writing a verse that is about that topic. And, you know, flipping through there throughout the day and reading all those. You don't have to necessarily memorize all those 50 cards in that stack. But if that's something that you're struggling with, to have those all together and then just working through them and constantly reminding yourself of the truth, that's something that I thought was really good for me.
Okay, so Jennifer shared like all of my thoughts, but that's okay. God has just really been working on my heart through the last couple weeks over Christmas break, and he's really been trying to get me to give it all to him, not just little pieces here and there, but he wants my whole heart. So then with that, a couple of things from Faith Walkers. The seminar that that she was just talking about, with the truth-based thought life, the one thing that she said is, what are you going to do different this year? If you want to be a completely different person by next Faith Walkers, what are you going to do? And she said that if you don't do anything, you might grow just a little bit just by default. But if you want to be a different person, you need to change something. So this year, I just really want to stay focused throughout the year. I don't want it to just be a conference high. I want this to last the whole year through. I don't want to just get stuck going through the motions. I don't want to get stuck in a rut. I want it to continue. So just a couple of things that Jennifer was sharing. The truth packs, that was really cool. I'm like, oh, I need to do that. And I was planning on going to Walmart today after church and buying some note cards. And then I had talked to Grace on the way home yesterday about being an interception partner and just having her confront me and say, okay, Darcy, what are you thinking? What are you believing right now? And just those are just a couple of things. I want to listen to all of the messages between now and next Faith Walkers. And one other thing that I've just been doing lately is every day I've just been trying to list out three praises every day that God did, three things that God did in that day. And that's just really helped me to change my attitude and just having less of a negative attitude. My goal for the next year is just to be more in love with God. One of the songs that we sang was Set My Heart on Fire, and I just want to be so in love with God that that's the only thing that people see when they look at me, when they talk to me. And then two other thoughts that were thrown out. Have you spent more time reading Christian literature, reading Christian books? Those books are good to read, but have you spent more time reading those books than you have reading the Bible or being in prayer. And then the other thing was, have you spent more time on Facebook or other social media things? Or have you spent more time in the Bible or prayer? And it was just kind of a kick in the pants to, I do need to get off of Facebook more. I do need to be in the Word. I do need to be praying more, because that's what's going to change my life. That's what's going to make me a different person in the next year.
Kind of need to kind of bring the open mic to a close, but I'm telling you, if there was somebody out there who felt like God wanted them to share something, but they've been too freaking scared, well, I'm going to give you this one opportunity right now.
You did that on purpose. Oh, yeah, right. Didn't know my foot. Do not want to be up here at all. So I went to Faith Walkers with my family. Yeah. Should I go like this so that people can hear me? Okay. when I was at Faith Walkers, three of my friends from Ames were there, and one of them gave me a gift, which was a ring that I lost. In my room, I put it on one night to sleep with it, and when I woke up, it wasn't there anymore. I started freaking out. I don't know why, but I just started crying because I could not find it anywhere. My mom looked, I looked, we tore off, we'd like completely obliterated the room, sort of, looking for it, and I couldn't find it. And I could not believe that I'd lost it. I mean, I didn't get up, I didn't, anyway. I was very hysterical that I had lost this ring. When I told this person, my friend, that I lost it, I was very afraid that she was going to be very upset at me. I mean, it looked like a very expensive ring, but the ring meant a lot to me. She didn't. She told me that it was okay, that it was just an object, and that she would always love me. Even if, you know, I just don't know why I'm crying. Anyway, so I tried to forget about it because it was okay. It was just a ring. It was okay. And the next day, I was just sitting in my bed, and I wasn't even thinking about it. And I looked over, and it was just sitting there mocking me on the bed. I was like, what? I mean, what? How? I mean, it was... It's possessed. I'd looked everywhere on the bed. I tore the covers off. I'd looked inside the pillow covers. I shook the pillow covers. I mean, it was just sitting there. Like, oh, look, here I am. It was just like, okay. So, I mean, it just really shocked me that, I mean, I didn't think I was going to find it because we had looked everywhere for it. And, you know, I was leaving the next day, you know. So, you know, I was like, well, maybe somebody one day will find it and guess it'll be their lucky day. and I remember always in my head the entire time it was lost, thinking, why, God, would you take that from me? I mean, you know, it meant a lot to me. And it's gone now, and I barely had it for like a day or, you know. And he just showed me that I shouldn't be so worried about objects, I guess. I mean, the people are more important than the object. You know, you have something that a friend gave you, but even if you lost it, she's still there.
That's one to live off of there, Nina. Thank you for sharing that with us. It's just amazing how, as we get older, you'd think you would get over the attachment that stuff has. Because you know that kids, you know, you take a toy away from a kid and they're just going to go ballistic. Well, I think adults do that in their own adult way. What a huge lesson. And I remember when that happened was during a message and a main session on prayer. It was on prayer, you know, and talking about the necessity of the power of prayer and how God loves it when we pray and how he desires to answer our prayers. And we all gathered as kids and we prayed and, you know, and then we just waited for God to answer it. I didn't even know you found your crazy ring. You know, I thought, you know, this was a story that's just like, well, you know, I learned this lesson and the ring is out there for somebody somewhere, but you had actually found it. God gave it back to you. We tell people at Faith Walkers or at any conference that there's the message that's going on the stage, but that's not where the conference is. It's not just what's going on the stage. It's what's going on in each and every individual life. God has a uniquely tailored conference for every single person, and that one was designed by God himself to bless you and teach you, and now that's been a blessing to us all. I trust that the open mic has been a blessing to all of you guys. It's amazing how much the Holy Spirit can teach us through things he is teaching other people. So let not this be the only time that we share with one another what God's doing in here. Take the opportunity any and every time, certainly on Sundays when we're all here and there's a little bit going on before and after. Don't be shy. Don't think you have to be some sort of pastor or something to start bringing up God's stuff and share what he's doing in your life. You might be completely shocked at how much God did something in your life so that you would be a mouthpiece for him into somebody else's life. I think you'll be amazed. So, we are now going to remember the Lord in breaking of bread. And you'll see that we have bread and juice on every table. And what we're going to do is show a rough video footage that we put together of the Faith Walkers Conference so that those of you who are just kind of, I can maybe imagine what it's like, you can actually kind of see what it was like. And we got some music that I think may have been done at the conference going on behind. But as this video is rolling, remember that stuff like this conference, stuff like this gathering right here this morning would not be happening if Jesus hadn't have risen from the grave. I mean, lots of heroes died on the cross. Romans were pretty good at executing anybody that tried to rebel against their authority. So Jesus dying on the cross was profound because it was necessary to pay for our sins, because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. But that's not what makes him so profound. That's not what makes him our hero. It's that he rose from the grave as God's stamp of authority, that was sufficient. The payment was good. That's just what I needed, a perfect sacrifice for the sins of mankind, yours and mine, in that number. And God approved it, affirmed it, and resurrected Jesus from the grave, and now he lives forever in our lives. Let's remember his death and resurrection until he comes again in glory. So as this video goes, break the bread, pass the cup, remember the Lord.
All right.